You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm joined by Representative Robert Martwick of the 19th District. He is my representative, actually, and we've had the chance to talk quite a bit over the last year. We'd met before last April, but I went down to Springfield after the funding was slashed, as it were, for autism programs, epilepsy programs in Illinois, even smoking cessation programs, after-school programs, Meals on Wheels. And the funding was restored, but we knew at the time that it was a temporary fix, that finding $300 million in state revenue because of the state tax, forms that were submitted. Representative Martwick told me that more funding has been cut recently to similar programs. And, one of the reasons that I am so involved is, in fact, because I have a child who was born with a significant disability. He is missing part of his brain called the corpus callosum that affects him intellectually, physically. He struggles a lot being able to walk. He has never spoken a word in his life. He tries to communicate. He does it mostly through whether it's hand over hand, which means he'll take your hand and he will guide you towards something, or you have to take his hand and try to put him through the motions of doing something, whether it's trying to put a pen on paper to color. At 10 years old, it is hard to gauge what he knows as far as his education goes, whether sometimes he'll match shapes. Sometimes he's just not interested. He's 10 years old and he's bored with some of these things. So it may be that he knows even more than we are able to gauge. So I've told stories on this show before about how, they told me he might never walk. They told me he might ever talk when he was born. They actually did not think he was going to survive. And he started walking when he was 3 years old. And he, was making a lot of progress physically. As far as whether or not he was able to communicate, it has been a mystery to us as to whether we could try to do sign language. He's never been interested in trying that. When he was 8 years old, it was the first time he learned how to point. We were lucky enough to have an applied behavioral analysis therapist who worked very hard to teach him how to point, which sounds so simple and basic until you realize how important it is in the development of language, because it becomes an entire conversation. When I point at his bed, I'm telling him it's bedtime, and he points at the door telling me, I don't wanna. And we now can have he'll point at something like, I wanna go outside. And so there are basic things that he's able to tell us. He'll hand me a cup, so obviously he wants milk. Not long after he learned how to point, he actually did something that was remarkable that is one of my favorite things, one of my favorite moments of my entire life, because for years he wouldn't really let me kiss him. Like, I would try to, like, give him a kiss, and he'd pull away, and I would say, Mommy kiss, and, after some time, he would tilt his head toward me, or he'd give me a cheek, and he begrudgingly let me give him a kiss. But when he was 8, not long after he learned how to point, he pulled me down one day to my knees, and I was, he does that sometimes, he pulls you down. He wants to cuddle or something. And he got in close to my face, and I wasn't quite sure what was happening, and he gave me my very first kiss. He gave me a Declan kiss on my lips. And here I thought I was going to have to steal kisses for the rest of his life, and it was one of the best days of my life. This morning, we were in our living room. Declan woke up at 3:30 in the morning. I had just gotten home a half an hour before. I try to get to sleep before he wakes up so I can at least get a little bit of rest, but he'd woken up, and so I took over because I try to let my husband sleep in so that he can take care of what needs to happen in the morning as the boys get ready for school. And Declan was, he wanted to do different things. He wanted to eat. He wanted to drink. He wanted some milk. And I remembered that they had just given us this communication device at school. It's actually an iPad on a with a really heavy duty case to it with a strap so that Declan can wear it around his neck. And I'm supposed to be learning how to use it with him together. And so I went and grabbed it. So I was like, what do you want? And he pushed. And we knew that he could do eat and drink. And he does that already kind of through different gestures. So I'd show him the board, and he would point at drink, and he'd point, I'd give him a cup, and he'd point at eat, and I gave him a waffle. And that was kind of, and then I think I was being kind of aggressive, because I was like, show me what else, what do you want to do? What do you want, Declan? And finally he turned around and he pointed at the word play, which I was so caught off guard, because we've never actually had that conversation. Basically he was saying, I just want to play, stop bothering me. I've never had that conversation with Declan. And there's a bunch of different words on that. There's a lot of, it's not like he randomly died. I was like, you want to play? He's never said that to me. I mean, he does play, but he's never, been able to express that. And I was like, oh, we're gonna play. So we have, you know, he's got some sound machines, he's got different things. He went and then he wanted to go play by himself, and he went and played in the room, in his bedroom, and it was such a great morning. And I'm just so excited because it's the promise of more with him. And when our listener Emil called earlier and was talking about how hard it is now for people who have disabilities or are senior citizens to stay in their homes, this at the age of 10 years old, for my son to be able to say, I want to play, I can't express to you how important that is moving forward in the goal, you know, our goal, our hopes that he will be able to live independently someday. He might not, but this is something I never thought I would ever see. I just thought, you know, we kind of go through gestures because you have these moments where you're like, okay, this is what life is. I'm going to beg for kisses, and I'm just going to try to guess what my son wants, or my son's not going to walk even. So my son continues to surprise me, to make my world a much bigger place, but it's why I fight, not just for my family, but for families all over the state of Illinois. And it's why Representative Martwick and people on both sides of the aisle, I can't imagine there's anybody in the General Assembly who doesn't want a child like Declan, or someone that Emil cares for, or someone in your family. They don't want to hurt you. They think they're doing the best thing. But sometimes looking at a spreadsheet doesn't translate into what it's like to live with somebody who you only want the best for.
Well, and that's a great point. I mean, this is really comes down to, when you're talking about this, is, you know, a philosophy of what is the role of government, right?
Right.
And to me, government is designed specifically for that. There is no profit in trying to make your son's life better.
Right.
Right. And so this is where government comes in, where we as a society say, you know what, we're human beings. We care about all, especially those that are most vulnerable. And we are all going to collectively get together and work to make that person's life better. And, you know, I one of the things that I've grown fond of in the legislature is, you mentioned there isn't anyone who doesn't want to see your son's life get better. And that's true. Everyone wants to, but wanting isn't enough, right?
Right.
And so when I talk to my colleagues who are on the other side of the aisle, and of course for your listeners, I'm a Democrat, and that's fine. I, you know, whatever goes with that, that's what I am. I'm a liberal. But when we have these conversations about how we're going to fix our budgetary crisis, my colleagues on the Republican aisle, they want all of the same things that I want. The difference is that they're not willing to pay for it.
Right.
And at some point we have to decide, wanting is not right. Should we or shouldn't we? Will we or won't we? Are we going to, or are we not going to fund these programs?
Right.
And that's a value judgment. We have to decide what is the role of government. To me, as a human being, I look and I say, it's our responsibility to try and make your son's life better through whatever we can do on our end, right? And you know, that's where we're at. We have to have that debate. It's important to have that debate honestly and openly, because we'll never get to the bottom of this budget if we don't.
And it is, you know, when you mentioned the most vulnerable, you also mentioned earlier the MAP grants and 1,200 students that will not be returning to programs. I mean, these are all things where when we fall short, you know, in bits and pieces, we fall short for their future, for everyone's, for the future of Illinois.
Yeah.
Because when you have students who can't return to school, who were on the path to having a better life, whether they're from, you know, a town in Illinois that's struggling, or the south side of Chicago, this is our future too. This is some, and if you're talking about spreadsheets, that does become more expensive, whether it's, yeah, you know, Declan having to depend on long-term care, or an individual who's, you know, isn't going to, you know, paying more in taxes because they're earning more.
Right. And again, you know, we get into the different philosophies, right? Like there might be, and someone might have a philosophy, hey, not everyone's supposed to go to college. And listen, if you can't afford it, tough luck.
Right.
And to me, I say, if we're not the land of opportunity, if every kid in this country does not have the same opportunity to be the next big success because they're denied access to education, then we're failing.
Yeah.
We're not America anymore, right? So when we deny 1,200 kids from city colleges that are trying to advance their lives, they're trying to make their lot in life better, they're trying to do what so many people say, hey, take advantage of your opportunities, and we pull the rug out from under them, unconscionable.
Yeah, it is. And there are people who will contact the show. They will contact the station and say, I'm tired of being browbeaten about special needs kids. Why do I got to pay for autism? And again, I'll always go back to this, because Craig just clicked on his microphone and said, well, then why pay for anything?
That's right.
Why pay for anything? Why pay for and we can even go back to when a listener called and said that I think it was Wally that said you proved his point in your conversation about how schools aren't supposed to operate at a profit. By design, it's going to be a loss. You can't make money off of a kid graduating or having a better education.
Government is designed to do all the things that business doesn't want to do, right? I mean, there's no profit in many of the things that we do as a government. And that's exactly why we do them. We come together as a civilized society and say educating our children is important without a profit motive. We say that taking care of senior citizens, ensuring that they can stay in their homes and have a dignified life. I mean, we, you know, when people look at what our society is like today, what I often say is just think about what it was like at the turn of the century where senior citizens were on the street dying of starvation.
Right.
At some point, between then and here, we decided that is not acceptable for a civilized society. For our country, we're going to take care of our senior citizens. So we enacted Social Security. We enacted Medicare. And we have programs like Meals on Wheels, which allow senior citizens to live in their homes in dignity at a much lower cost than being forced into nursing homes. And yet now we're starting to cut those programs.
Yeah, that's the thing. Okay, we have to take a break here because we keep going. Let's talk about that next, about something Emil also talked about, which was being able to stay at home with in-home care as opposed to being institutionalized. More with State Representative Robert Martwick of the 19th District. It's Jefferson Park down area, Harwood Heights, a little Gladstone Park. It is. It's kind of nice to look at over by there.